You're listening to the Fuse Church Podcast, for students, for the city, for the gospel. To learn more about Fuse Church, visit fusechurch.tv.
Hey, lean over and tell somebody around you, say, hey, you know what? If you need a friend, I'll be your friend. Tell somebody around you that. If you need a friend, I'll be your friend. Even if you don't mean it, it's not a lie in church, it's encouragement. Even if you don't mean it, it's just encouragement. It's not a lie. Speaking of lies, I want to tell you guys a story, and this may be a little more about me than you care to know, but I don't really care. But when I was like 4 years old, 5 years old, I had the greatest thing in the world that a four-year-old or five-year-old could. I had my very own gumball machine in my room, all right? And it was a Mickey Mouse gumball machine. And if you've ever had a Mickey Mouse gumball machine, you know that there is no better gum on the planet than Mickey Mouse gum, all right? And so here's the thing, though. Like, my parents, they were like wanting to teach me responsibility or whatever. And so, like, I had, like, allowance that I got if I did my chores. And you're like, four-year-olds do chores? Not many, but I did. And so, like, they would give me an allowance, and it was a quarter a week, all right? And that is called extortion, okay? So they would give me a quarter a week if I did all my chores. And so what would happen is that I would save my quarters up because I knew at some point I was going to have to buy a ring for a wife, all right? So I started saving early. So anyway, I would save all my quarters up, and I had this big green jar where I kept all of my quarters, and I had the Mickey Mouse gumball machine that every once in a while, when I was feeling kind of in a chewy mood, I would go and get a quarter out of the change jar and put it in the Mickey Mouse gumball machine. And so anyway, my parents knew that if I was like, you know, if I was doing good, they'd give me a quarter and that I'd get some Mickey Mouse gumballs. So anyway, one time I go to my mom and I say, hey, listen, hey, I've done all my chores. I've done everything and it's almost dinner time. But hey, can I have some Mickey Mouse gum? Can I buy a Mickey Mouse gumball with my allowance out of the change jar in my room? And she's like, no, we're about to have dinner, and I don't want you chewing gum before dinner. It'll ruin your supper, all right? Now, here's the deal. If a gumball will ruin your supper, what's for supper, right? You know, that's my question. Is it what in the world could be good for supper if one gumball is going to ruin it, all right? So anyway, so she told me, don't be chewing gum before supper. And I'm like, okay, all right? And so this is what I did. I went back to my room, and I waited till nobody was walking by in the hallway, and I very slyly, like, reached into my change jar and pulled out a quarter and then walked over to my Mickey Mouse gumball machine and I dropped it in there and turned it. And I had me some Mickey Mouse gum, even though I wasn't supposed to have Mickey Mouse gum that night. And it was good, all right? It tasted like sin, but it was good, all right? And so anyway, so I'm just kind of chilling in my room, and then I'm like walking down the hallway, and I walk to the dinner table, and this is how smart I was at four, and I've gotten a lot smarter since then. But at 4 years old, I walk into the dinner room, and my parents are like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Nothing. What are you doing? What's up?" And they're like, "Are you chewing gum?" And I went, "No." They're like, yes, you were. Are you chewing gum? And I'm like, yeah, I was chewing gum. You know, good job. No, I just like to, you know, no, of course I'm chewing gum. What do you think I'm chewing? I'm 4 years old. I'm out in the back going, hey, can somebody get me? No, anyway, so like, I'm 4 years old. I'm just sitting there chewing a gumball. And my parents are like, are you chewing gum? I'm like, yeah, that's what you chew. And they're like, where did you get the money for that gumball? Now, at 4 years old, no one had ever sat me down and said, okay, here's what you do. When someone asks you a question, you don't tell them the truth, you tell them a lie, all right? And then things will go awesome for you forever, right? No one ever sat me down and did that. And if someone has ever sat down and told you that, they're a freak, okay? Because that is weird to sit down and tell a kid that. So, I mean, the parents, they asked me, they said, where did you get the money for that gumball? And this is what I said at 4 years old. I found it. I found it. It was under my bed. I found it, right? Because we all just have, if you have a quarter in your pocket and you're about to go to sleep, what do? You just throw it under your bed, right? That's where you keep your spare change. And so they're like, really? That's where you, and I'm like, yeah, I did. I found it. It was under my bed and I put it, it didn't take, they said, did you take it from your coin jar? No. No, I didn't. I'm lying to my mom and dad. So here's what happened. Because my parents are big believers in discipline, which means this, they like to hit me. All right, so, I mean, they were like, you know, there's the saying that goes, spare the rod, spoil the child. My parents are like, give me the rod, and I'm going to spoil his you-know-what. All right, so, I mean, they were like, they were not shy about beating me. All right, spankings, I mean, whippings, you know, getting knocked to kingdom come, right, getting all the different sayings that you can come up with, this is my favorite one. This is what my grandmother would say. Maybe you've heard this, and I'm not sure if this is like an East Tennessee thing or not, but she'll say, hey, you want a knot jerked in your tail, right? You want a knot jerked in your tail? And there is no like physical scenario where like I can think of having a knot jerked in my tail where that goes well for me, right? And if you can come up with what that means, we're going to give you a free Dairy Queen or something. I don't know. But so, I mean, having a knot jerked in your tail is not good. So my parents, this is what happened. They were like, you're lying. And I'm like, yeah, I am. I really am. And they're like, well, we're going to have to punish you. And I'm like, really? I mean, because I didn't. They're like, no, we're going to have to punish you. So they caught me lying. They caught me. They spanked me. And then I still had to eat dinner. All right. And so, but here's what's funny. I don't know if you have like a weird experience like that, but like a lot of times, when we have an experience, it creates for us a label, all right? And the experience will give you a label, and that label will become what you're known by. So for me, here's what's sad. At 4 years old, I wasn't just somebody who told a lie. I was a liar, all right? Because that's what I did, and that's who I was. And your experience, whether it's positive, whether it's exciting, whether it's exhilarating, whether it's you know, traumatic or whatever the case may be, you might now be living under a label because you were a victim of an experience. And I don't know what your experience is. I wonder what labels you've been given. I wonder what experiences gave them to you. So tonight, here's the deal. We're going to have this time right here. It's our message time of Fuse Church. And tonight's message is entitled, The Resistance. And here's why. Because there are labels that you are given that you have got to figure out how you're going to resist. Labels like, you're the unpopular kid, or you're the girl with divorced parents, or you're the girl who's easy, or you're the poor kid, or you're the rich kid, or maybe, and here's my favorite one, right? This is so good. Now, I'm from Morristown, okay? I grew up like 60 seconds from here. And so I grew up, I went to elementary school and middle school, and high school, and I went to college at Carson Newman, so I get it, right? I get the Morristown thing. This is my favorite one. This is a label that a lot of us have, and we've even given it to ourselves, and it's the label of I'm superior, right? I'm big and bad. I'm better than you. And we think that we're better than other people because we don't drink, or we don't smoke, or we don't have sex, or we don't do drugs, or we don't get arrested, or we didn't join sub-debs, all right, or we don't party, or whatever it is. Well, because we don't do those things, we think that we're okay. Do y'all hear me just say doo-doo? Right? That was so funny. Every time I hear that in my brain, I kind of laugh. I'm like, doo-doo, right? I know, I'm like 6 years old in my mind. But anyway, but we think because we don't do those things, almost did it again, right? We think because we don't do those things that we're good and that we're superior. And even in doing that, we're labeling ourselves. So here's the deal. Our message tonight to you is very simple. It's straightforward, and it's so easy that even like somebody who is here for the first time and you've never been to church and you've never been around anything like this, or maybe you've been to church your entire life, our message is for every single one of you. If you're a youth leader who's here tonight, if you're a pastor who's here tonight, if you're a parent who's here tonight, because you're like, what's this thing? It's called Fuse Church. What are they doing? Why am I even, I'll drop you off, but I'm walking you in because I don't know what's happening up in there. This used to be a mattress store, right? So whatever it is, whatever the case may be, if you're in this room tonight, our message to you is very simple, and it's this. Labels lie. Labels lie. You're not a slave to your label. Then no matter what experience you had, whether it was exciting or whether it was depressing or whether it was traumatic or whatever the case was, you don't have to be poor guy. You don't have to be rich guy. You don't have to be nice guy. You don't have to be happy all the time guy. You don't have to be divorced parents, girl. You don't have to be like eating disorder, girl. You don't have to be girl who cuts herself. You don't have to be girl who had an abortion. You don't have to be porn guy. You don't have to be popular guy. You don't have to be guy without any friends. The great news we have for you tonight is this. The resistance is for you, and you've got to resist labels because your label is a lie, and it's straight from hell. And the person who gave you that label, they're a liar. And you can be free if you choose the resistance. If you choose to resist. We believe that the Bible is very clear on this issue at Fuse Church. We believe that the Bible is explicit in how it deals with labels. In fact, the Bible has its own set of labels, and it's found in the book of 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. You don't even have to look it up. We're going to put it on the screen for you right now. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, it says this. You ready? There we go. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, which is a Bible way of saying, listen, don't be dumb right now, okay? So look to somebody around you with your neighbor and say, hey, listen, don't be dumb right now. All right, tell them that. Don't be dumb right now. Good. All right, let's hop back. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, it says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, or adulterers, or men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so in 1 Corinthians, we have this big long list, a list of things that say, if you're like this, you don't get to go to heaven. If you've ever done one of these things, then you're out. I mean, I don't know about you, when I read this and I go through that, I go, that's me, I'm out. I'm out. I've either done all these things or I'm friends with people who do them. I mean, I understand what it means to be unrighteous. Like, there's been more than one time in my life when I've done something that wasn't the right thing. I don't know if you're like that, but there's been one or two moments in my life when I haven't been perfect. Or the sexually immoral. Meaning here's the deal. The Bible is so clear that to be sexually immoral doesn't just mean that you have sex. It means that even if you have an impure thought that floats through your brain, that's sexual immorality. And if you're sexually immoral, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you are an idolater, meaning that if you have anything that is in your life that is in the place of attention that is other than Jesus Christ, if anything receives your highest focus and your highest attention other than Jesus, you're an idolater. You have idols. We have idols. Or you're an adulterer or a homosexual, or you have friends who are homosexuals, or you're a thief, or you're greedy, or you're a drunk, or you revile. I don't even know what revile means, okay? But it's bad, okay? To revile someone doesn't sound good, okay? So if you're reviling somebody, first of all, come and tell me what you're doing and then stop, okay? So reviling is, we assume from, this is where we're going to get like deep and theological. If it's in between the words like being drunk and being a swindler, it's probably not awesome, all right? So if you're reviling people, just stop, all right? Don't revile, okay? That's deep. All right, that's really deep. That's because, like, I know people who went to seminary. All right, so don't revile people. But here's the thing. This is what we learn from this section of verses. Do you know what the Bible never celebrates? The Bible never celebrates people who clean themselves up. The Bible never, ever, ever celebrates people who can look down this list and go, never done anything. No, I'm good. I am 100% pure-hearted, innocent, never messed up in my life. The Bible doesn't celebrate those people. Do you know why? Because those people don't really exist. And the Bible doesn't celebrate people who just do better. who make a resolution to just stop it, who make a promise or who make a commitment or who feel guilty and beat themselves up about it to the point where they don't want to do it anymore. The Bible doesn't celebrate those people. Because you know what else? Those people don't exist. Trying harder doesn't exist. Because here's what I know about you, even though I don't really know you. What I know about you is this, is that if there's something on that list that you've struggled with in the past or maybe you're struggling with right now, is that as hard as you've tried to stop it, you can't. And that what happens is that we get pulled into this cycle of sin where we feel really bad about it, but we do it anyway. And then we feel really bad about it because we've done it. And then we go for a little while because we don't want to do it anymore because we felt really bad about it. And then every once in a while we feel like, well, I haven't done it in a while. Maybe I'll just kind of think about it a little bit more. And then we'll actually commit it again. And then we'll feel even more shame and even more guilt and even more anxiety. And that'll feed into us again and cause us to sin more and more. And so trying harder actually just makes us do more of the worse. And the great news for you and me is that the Bible doesn't celebrate those people who do better. And the Bible doesn't celebrate people who clean themselves up. The great news about the resistance is that it doesn't require you to be better at the effort you're giving. That the label that you're going to be handed is not one that says 100% A plus because you're awesome. That the resistance is about those of us who have understood a very clear fact. That we celebrate the resistance. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, listen to what it says. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may," give me that word, "boast," right? That nobody who is being honest can talk about all the good works that they do. That we don't earn our way into heaven or into God's good grace. That it is a result of faith, not our works. And we celebrate that. And do you know what separates Christianity from any and every other religion out there? It's that you play no part in making yourself clean. None. And it's a result of faith, not works. And all of a sudden, God turns to you and says, "I don't love you because of what you've done or in spite of what you've done. My love for you flows from one place, and that's through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross." And it's not that you've cleaned yourself up or relabeled yourself or recommitted, and now you're to the point where God likes you. But we were drunkards. We were liars. We were revilers, maybe. We were idolaters, pagan as they come. And in the middle of it all, the Spirit of God called to us and said, "I love you." But we push back, right? Because we don't get that. Because our traumatic or our dramatic experience has said, no, you don't understand. My label, it's with permanent marker. What I got wrote on was with permanent ink. And we say, "God, I want you to look at my scarlet letter. Look at my label. I mean, I am poor. I am so poor, and it messes with my mind. Or my family, they are rich, and I am embarrassed. Or I feel like I have to be happy all the time because that's what people expect from me. Or my parents, they are divorced and it has jacked me up. Or I have an eating disorder because I don't think that I'm that pretty." We say, "God, look, I don't feel anything. That's why I cut myself, because I don't feel anything." We say, God, look, I mean, you don't know how many sexual partners I've had. You don't know how many times I've crossed the line. You don't know how many things I've looked at on the internet and how many times I've clicked and looked and felt bad about that. God, you don't know I've had an abortion. God, you don't know that I'm unpopular. God, you don't know. You don't know because you don't know what it's like to walk down the hallway and have nobody talk to you. You don't know that kind of hurt. You don't know that kind of pain. But it is in the deepest and the most shameful place where God says to us, I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. I'm not turned off, and I'm not disgusted by your label. I've made a way. That God says to us, I've made a way for you. I've made a way that I want you to resist, to don't let them label you, don't let them judge you, don't let them put you down. Don't you let them put any sort of mark on you. Let me label you. Let me call you my own. Let me label you my son, my daughter, my beloved. And in that moment, we celebrate. Not because we're clean, but because when we weren't, he loved us. And we have to choose the resistance. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's the Bible in one verse. That because of God's great love for us, he made Jesus, who had never committed a wrong in his life, to become all of our wrongs. All of the wrongs that we've done in our past, all of the wrongs that we're doing right now, and all the wrongs that we'll ever do, he made him to become all of those for us. So that what? So that we might know God's righteousness. It's in the moment that God says, I'll give you a new label. A label that is reserved for my children. And you say back to God, because of that, I'll pursue you. I'll chase after you. I'll give you everything I have, and I will follow you and get close to you because I'm part of the resistance. So here's what I know, man. You're wearing something. And for a lot of you guys, you think you're fronting and you think you got everybody fooled and faked out. It's all over your face. We see it. We get it. Man, you're carrying something that you were never meant to carry. You got some kind of emotional baggage because you had an experience. And instead of it being a one-time singular experience and saying, hey, you know what? You told a lie. You didn't just tell a lie. You became a liar. You weren't just disobedient. You became a disobeyer. So here's what I want to do. I want to offer you a chance to choose, to claim, to celebrate, and to join the resistance. And here's the deal. All of this truth about the fact that we don't do anything to clean ourselves up, that it is him who makes us righteous, that while we were at our worst, Jesus chose to give us his best. And that flies in the face of religion. It flies in the face of everything that makes sense. I mean, do you understand the absurdity of grace? Do you understand how much that, like, we should have to work for it? We should have to try harder. We should have to get better. We should have to change. We should have to give something up. But God says, even in the most shameful and dirty part of your heart, it is then that I looked at you before I even knew you and said, you're worth it. That it's this generation, that it's this guy, it's this girl, it's my son, it's Jesus, it's his blood that's going to be shed, and you are worth saving. You are worth delivering. You are worth being made new. You are worth being changed. You are worth being given a shot at redemption. You're worth having an eternity that is being spent not in hell and separated from God, which is what we've earned, but an eternity in heaven that is an actual fellowship with the living God. While we were at our worst, while we were still sinners, God chose to send his son Jesus to save us, to relabel us. While we were far from God, he chased after us and said, no more will they be people who don't know their heritage. They will be my sons. They will be my daughters. They will be part of my family, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. And so tonight, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna choose to join the resistance. For some of you, it's time to choose that for the very first time. It's time for you to join up, because you've been faking, you've been playing, you've been jacking around because you feel like, hey, my parents go to church, so I should be covered. I live in Morristown, so I should be covered. I'm superior, I'm better. But at night when you close your eyes, you are so alone and you are so afraid because you are far from God. You do not know God. There has never been a time where he has stepped out of heaven into your heart and changed your life forever. And your habits prove that. That you're trying to get better proves that. So in just a second, I want to pray a prayer and ask you to pray it with me. And then after that, I want to ask you to do something that is just crazy. I want to ask you to stand up in front of all these people, in front of me, in front of adults, in front of your peers, in front of your friends, in front of people who don't even know you. I want to ask you to stand up, and you're going to say for the very first time, I choose to resist. I choose to stand against the flow. I choose to be saved, to become a Christian for the very first time, for the only time. And it's not about recommitting. If you have to recommit, it's in vain, because that's about your effort. It's about allowing God to save you. So when I pray, when I say amen, I want you to stand and join up and resist the label, resist the lie. I want you to stand up if you need to be forgiven. If you need to forgive somebody else, or maybe you just need to forgive yourself, you need to publicly repent of your sin. When I say amen, that's your time to stand. That it's not about, listen, it's not about emotional time at the end of a church service. It's not about Fuse Church. It's not about your church. It's not about an individual church. It's about the church, because we serve a living God who sent his son Jesus Christ, that while we were still sinners, he came after us and is furiously longing to have you back in the family. So I remember when I made you, I wanted you to be my son. I wanted you to be my daughter. But you're obsessed. You're obsessed with this label that's been given to you. I'm a cutter. No, you're not. You're my daughter. I'm unpopular. No, you're not. You're my son. I don't have any friends. No, you don't, but you have me. So when I say amen, that's your time to stand. You got to do it. You got to go public. You got to have some courage. This is the one thing you're asked to do, to stand up. So here we go. We're going to pray right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that we would choose the resistance right now, God. And if you need to choose to resist for the very first time, I ask that you would pray this prayer with me. It's not the words, it's your heart that says, Dear Jesus, I'm far from you. I'm a sinner. I can't do it, but I know you can. Step out of heaven, step in my heart, save me, relabel me, make me a son, make me a daughter, so that I can be with you and be labeled yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to join the resistance, you better stand up. You better stand up right now if you need to join the resistance. presence and make a commitment to become a Christian for the very first time, you better stand up, because it's time for us to do something different about this town. This place doesn't have to be depressing. It doesn't have to be the end. Hey, here's what I want you to do. If you need it, the first thing I want you to do is to tell somebody. To tell somebody about the decision you made. Because here's what's awesome, is that we get to do this together. That we get to be a part of this together. So I got a friend, his name is Luke, and he's in the very back. And if you chose to join the resistance tonight, I'm going to ask you to move right now. Right now, walk back to the door. And Luke's going to take you back to go and chat with somebody. If you joined up with the resistance tonight, you need to go. You need to walk right now back to the back. And Luke's going to join you. Counselors, adults, go with them, because they need to chat. They need to share with you the good news. The rest of you, stand to your feet. We're going to worship a God who has made all things new, who has made us new, who has allowed us to step out of death and into life, who has labeled us his sons and daughters, his children. We are in the kingdom. This is Fuse Church. Let's worship God with everything we have right now.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Fuse Church podcast on Friday, February the 3rd. Stay tuned for future podcasts, and for more information, visit fusechurch.tv.